This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Jody Cameron, John Ritchie on this Thursday morning. Day four of NFL free agency. Obviously, the first 3 days have tilted from an Eagles standpoint with more out than in. Now, that was not a surprise, but maybe the degree to which it's been more out than in, perhaps that has caught you off guard. And I got to tell you, Joe Banner, who ran the Eagles very well for a long time, is a phenomenal follow on Twitter. Very, very interesting series of comments all the time from Joe on Twitter. And it's always great to have him on the program because I really do think in many ways, Joe Banner, along with Andy Reid, created the modern day Eagles. And obviously Howie and others have learned from what Joe and Andy did. And we've seen, you know, some success in recent years, to say the least, as a result. Longtime president of the Eagles, ran them for about 15 years. Joe Banner joins us this morning. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Appreciate the kind words as well.
Oh, it's our pleasure, and it's well deserved, and there's no question about it. And Joe, before we get to the
thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I mean, let me give you a thanks on this one right out of the gate, Joe, because we can talk all about free agency we want in the modern day. The biggest thing to address here is thanks for bringing John Ritchie to the city of Philadelphia 20 years ago. Because otherwise, there is no Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie show on WIP.
How disappointing was that, Joe? Back in free agency 2003, you sign a fullback who came in from the Raiders, and people are expecting like help offensively, and I didn't really.
He's being self-deprecating. Hey, Joe, he delivered. The injury was unfortunate, but I always tell John, he knows that he was a damn good player.
You know, when people ask me our best move, I always say it's John.
Nice. So good. All right, so I like it, Joe.
Really fun.
All right, let's get down to the business here. So obviously there's been a lot going on. We saw your tweet earlier this week when you refer to the Eagles cap situation as challenging, more challenging than usual. And we knew it would be. I've been surprised how many have been out the door. I knew there'd be some. It's caught me a little off guard. Has it been more extensive of an exodus than you expected? Or is this in line with what you figured it would be, given the challenges and how many great players they had on the team?
Yeah, no, this is about where I expected, but we should be very aware this is not the end. So the ability to keep some of their own guys that we knew were going to be expensive, the cap could contribute to that being harder. But I think one of the things that the Eagles have done really well here in recent years is realize that how long the offseason is. Some of us think, you know, first weekend it's over. And they've made moves every year that have enhanced the team. So I'm not surprised by what's happened. I will be surprised if we were talking 2 months from now, we haven't seen some additions that are either some, you know, veterans that are free that can fill some needs, or whether they're, you know, young guys that are emerging or more aggressive stance in the draft. But I would be very surprised if we don't see some additional moves that help them in a couple of key areas.
Joe, when you watch the Eagles offseason year after year, what do you feel most when you discuss Howie Roseman? Is it pride? I mean, I don't want to take it any further than that. What do you feel when you observe the moves that this team makes and it's Howie doing it?
Yeah, no, listen, I do feel pride. Remember, we weren't just Howie's first like NFL job. We were fundamentally his first job in life. So it was a very big projection. And I put him in a position, you know, kind of side by side with me working on things. And he replaced somebody that was actually doing a good job. That's, you know, a compliment to at least what I thought the upside was. But I also think that some of the, you know, reluctance to feel like, you know, you can never admit you're wrong a lack of fear of making a mistake, the aggressiveness. I mean, so it's not just for me, like the picks and some of the team-building philosophies that I think contributed to the earlier success and a big part of the success now. It's, you know, some of the things that just so few people in the NFL, is the fear of failure is just so driving, fear of putting your own job in jeopardy. The fact that, you know, Howie just, he acts as if that doesn't even exist, and he's just making decisions that are the best interest in the league. Just by that itself, it's a significant competitive advantage. So, you know, and that's what we tried to do earlier, you know, be fearless, you know, just trust yourself and, you know, other people who you want to be happy and excited, like the fans, if you get it right, they will be, even if they don't like it in the moment. And if you get it wrong, by the way, even if they agreed with you, they're not going to be happy with you. So put it out of your mind and just make the best decisions to win. And I feel happy that I see the ability and willingness to do that.
Wow. Yeah, that's really interesting. And thank you. Was it right for the Eagles to care most about Zach Bond this round of free agency?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because it is a little bit of a change, and it obviously reflects, you know, Vic's philosophies and his history. If you look at it, linebackers have been much more important to him than have been historically, at least recently historically, the Eagles. You know, I think it's two things. One, what I just mentioned, which is Vic's philosophy and obviously how well Bond played. I think the other thing is, and this is another thing they're doing, you know, much better than anybody in the league. They have anticipated these needs, especially on the defensive line, and they have prepared for them, and they've drafted players that look like they can step in. They may not be equal from day one, but they certainly could be, and then they're going to grow from there. So the linebacker spot, if they didn't re-sign him, they were going to take a step back unless they got something in the draft that contributed very quickly. But, you know, they drafted Hunt in the third round last year, and he looked very good in limited play this year. Ojomo was already playing really, really well. You know, Williams was an excellent contributor, but the money he got is even more than, you know, that, you know, showing up even more than we would have anticipated. So I'm curious myself, and I have no idea, can't tell from their actions, did they really make a philosophical change here? Or was it a reflection of the fact that they do have some young players coming up, even above the young that are already playing, you know, like the Smiths and Carters, who could step right in and actually have the unit not take a step backwards, even if it does probably for a very brief period of time. So I'm curious myself. I think we'll see over time, was it a change of philosophy? Was it just the circumstance of the moment?
How challenging is the cap situation? You tweeted about that. More challenging than we realize. How bad is it?
Yeah, well, first of all, I wouldn't consider it bad because they've been to 3 Super Bowls in 8 years, and part of it
was
philosophy. So it's hard to call it bad. Now, it does mean, though, that you're seeing right now they have to make some choices that they probably would prefer not to and lose some people that were still in a position that could have helped them. And going forward, it loosens back up, not all the way to where they were. It's mainly driven by the fact that they've taken the approach that they're going to always push forward cap charges, so take the lower charge now and the higher charge later, which dramatically increases your chance of having to take what in the league we would call miscellaneous charges, which is charges left for players no longer in your team.
Mm-hmm.
So as you take the risk of that, there is some price to pay. So, you know, this year the Eagles have almost $50 million in miscellaneous charges. So the league is basically working around, they got off here at $280 million cap. The Eagles really only have $230 million to spend. That's the reason that you're seeing them need to leave, let some players go that they prefer to keep. But they've benefited from this system. So you can't go, oh, we got all this benefit, and oh, my God, now there's a price to pay. Because I think you have to say, with going to 3 Super Bowls in 8 years, the price is worth it now. It's not like they're going to be in some huge retrenchment here, and they're going to have to go back to stinking or anything like that at all. It's just going to be harder to overcome kind of a more limited cap than they've historically had. Now, part of the reason they did this, which was also very smart, was the cap was going up very dramatically. So the price you pay for mistakes is automatically reduced just by that. So I think for the next couple of years, you're going to continue to have to make some tough decisions, but this is the most challenging year. They'll get the compensatory picks out of this, and then the impact of this will be smaller but not non-existent going forward.
Joe Banner with us here on WIP, helping us all understand this cap stuff and the Eagles offseason. You know, Joe, one of the things that was a hallmark of your tenure and most of Howie's as GM was extending players in a season, during the season, locking them up as they would maybe approach free agency or maybe even a couple years out. And it was very successful, very successful. And I know that we've noticed that they haven't done that in recent years. I've questioned, and not questions is maybe the right word. I've wondered whether it's a Sirianni influence that perhaps the head coach said to the GM, hey, look, I want my guys focused during the year. I don't want five players annoyed at one player that does get an extension in October and the other five players are disappointed and then perhaps don't play as well the next 3 months. But I'm, you know, so who knows? We don't know until we get a chance to ask Howie or Nick. We don't know. Do you think that there's been a philosophical adjustment? Do you sense that? Because, you know, obviously they entered free agency with none of these guys re-signed when they could have been in October. Do you think there's been an adjustment?
So I'm going to say what you just said is no way to know, but I will say it seems so. But there's a rule change that could have also played a role as well. It used to be you had to kind of, you know, get very creative and figure out how to kind of push money you had forward. You know, if you had, let's say, $10 million left in the cap at the end of the year, you used to have to do kind of creative and kind of tricky things, kind of annoying things, frankly, to push that money into the future. Now, all you have to do is say you want to push it into the future. Literally, you write a letter saying we want to push this money into the cap in our future, and it's done. So that provided a motivation from a team perspective to make sure you were using up most of that money so you didn't have to do this other tricky stuff by doing deals in season. So it could be a combination of both. It could be either one. You know, we won't know unless they answer that question very directly, you know, in an interview, which they're not likely to do. But it could be either one of those things or a combination because a rule was changed. It's a number of years ago, but it wasn't something that created a whole lot of immediate adjustment. But it made it much easier to push leftover the cap room forward, which made it slightly less desirable to be doing deals in the season, especially because they do have the effect you just mentioned. There's no doubt that doing those deals, I hope, had some benefits, but there was also some drawbacks to it because you didn't get all of them done, and then you do have some people thinking, why'd they do him instead of me? So
yeah.
Those two things are very real.
Joe, when the Saquon news came out, I think it was last week, about the extension, you know, a lot of people started thinking about T.O. and 20 years ago, and I saw on Twitter you referenced that this situation is very different than the T.O. one. Can you just detail, first off, do you think Howie did right by extending Saquon after 1 year, which is unusual, and what were the differences between the Saquon and T.O. situation as you sense it?
So first of all, the simple answer is yes, he did right, mostly by just showing a player in the locker room that, you know, the situation can be, you know, rewarded. But what happened mostly, in my opinion, is it's similar to what the Eagles did a couple years ago for A.J. Brown. The fact that it was after 1 year versus three was not really that material. And it's exactly the same thing that the 49ers did for McCaffrey last year. Now, what's different is a lot of things. T.O. had a 7-year deal, so you couldn't just add years. It was nothing he was interested in, and frankly, we'd have been more than happy to do it, but it didn't make any sense, really, to do it. And really what they did here was, in Barkley's situation, is they took a very small percentage of the new money and the added years, and they put it up front. So it's really, in terms of the cash flow of the deal and what he's likely to earn, a very, very small, much smaller change than it may look or have felt like, frankly, got portrayed as. So T.O. is looking for a significant, very significant adjustment. In fact, his first choice would have been to just rip up the contract and start from scratch. And the other thing that was different was, you know, the way that deal was structured was funny. You may remember he actually had agreed to a trade to the Ravens.
That's right.
For a second-round pick. And we actually came up with some, you know, he had regret about that because he didn't think it was a team interested in him that had a quarterback he was excited to play with. At that point, they didn't realize we were interested. So once they realized we were interested, we actually came up with an idea that he could use to try to get out of the Ravens trade, which he successfully filed a grievance. They actually created a settlement without the case being heard. So as a result of that, that deal was structured in an unusual way. There was a large amount of money in year one and a much smaller amount of money in year two, but the right amount of money to make him one of the top paid couple of wide receivers in football over the first 2 years. So it was kind of like he was forgetting that year one was purposely very inflated and year two was purposely somewhat deflated. So he was literally looking for a totally new contract. So the idea of adding years to already what was a 7-year contract and moving a small percentage of that into the remaining 2 years in Barkley's case, was nothing even close to anything that he was looking for or asking for or indicated he was willing to take. You know, the other thing to remember on the T.O. thing, which, again, is very different than the Barkley, he obviously left us and then signed a deal with Dallas. The deal he signed with Dallas was for almost literally the couple of bucks difference, but essentially the same exact amount of money we owed him over the next 3 years in the contract.
Wow.
In fact, if you factor in the amount of money that he then, you know, lost to the suspension, he would have made more money just staying with us for 3 years. So if it was honestly about the money, he didn't do any better than if he just stayed with us, which for me was comforting because it said, okay, you paid him fair to the market because he got a second chance to go to the market and basically got the same amount of money.
Wow.
I'm rounding up when I say this.
That is fascinating. With an eye to the rest of the NFC East, watching what's going on with free agency and whatnot, speaking of the Dallas Cowboys, what the hell are they doing?
That's a great way to ask it.
They have a very different philosophy about how to manage their cap, and they haven't spent the money that they've spent anywhere near as wisely as, for example, you know, the Eagles have. You know, and I think they're in trouble. I think people are misreading it, too. You know, watching the Eagles, hopefully more of the league is convinced that not just having good lines, but dominant lines put you in a position to have sustained, really significant success. The Cowboys do not act like they believe any of that. And I think that limits, and they can have good regular seasons, maybe make a mini run occasionally in the playoffs. But I think as long as they employ that philosophy, I mean, they're going to end up paying Parsons, Lamb, and Dak three contracts we all knew they were going to do. It's just a question of when for how much.
Yeah.
You know, in hindsight, we could say if they'd done those deals 1 year earlier, they would have $15 to $20 million more available in cap space for the next 5 years. So it could be $100 million over the next 5 years than if they waited as they did to do those deals. Hmm. So, you know, a lot of people wait to do the deals because they think that they have this fear of the player getting hurt and then they'll have made a mistake if they go early. The truth is that used to be true, but for a number of years now, players that get hurt are getting paid just what you would have expected in free agency day, as if they hadn't gotten hurt. So the benefit of waiting, if there was any, which obviously we never thought there really was, which we didn't do, but other teams did, and some smart people like Bill Polian always used to wait to do contracts. So some smart people believed in that. But whatever the benefit was, it no longer exists. So waiting to do these contracts is just a lack of objectivity or something that is not good.
But unbelievable.
Good for us.
Yeah.
But not just the Cowboys.
You're not kidding. Joe Banner here on WIP. Joe, what's your guess of what happens with Goddard and Becton? Are they back or not?
Goddard and who was the other one?
And Mekhi Becton, the guard.
Yeah. No, Becton, no. And Goddard, yes, would be my guess. And there again, I mean, I think they just traded for a guard. I think Steen could at least be solid in there. So I think that they're okay with that. I mean, I don't think it's equal. I think it is a little bit of a step back, but I think it's little, and the rest of the line is strong enough it doesn't concern me.
Joe, on the Goddard thing, so, you know, we've heard reports that the strategy for the Eagles is to try to get Goddard's number down, his total compensation down, essentially to have him take a pay cut.
Right.
How uncomfortable, I'll use that word, how uncomfortable is it and how messy and tricky can it get when you approach one of your own to say, love you, big guy, but need you to take less or we're going to cut you? I know, you know, you were in those conversations. What is that dynamic like?
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to avoid that moment. Unfortunately, they mostly do. So they get in the situation less than probably any team in the league. But it's terrible for every, you know, you, especially coming up a Super Bowl when you want to thank everybody. You don't want to be punishing anybody. And, you know, players, and they're no different than you or me. I mean, we all probably think we're a little bit better than we actually are. So they're not going to be thinking they deserve this, so to speak. In this instance, I honestly think that he could risk saying no and still get paid well from free agency, but he could also end up having the Eagles just say, okay, we wanted to take a shot, but, you know, we're just going to stick with the deal if you're not okay with that. I'd be surprised if they were willing to lose him over that, but they could.
Yeah, they could. You know, most of the stuff, I guess Joe goes through the agent, but is there a point when you talk to the player and say, I want to level with you and tell you why we're approaching it the way we do? How much goes to the player? How much goes to the agent in those negotiations?
Well, you'd always rather talk to the player, at least have the player hearing you directly, because you're always worried about how what you're saying is being portrayed. And, you know, if the agent does not think you should be taking a deal, he's likely to portray it in the most negative possible light, and, you know, vice versa. So, you know, you'd always... may surprise the player to his, but you'd always like them to hear your argument directly as opposed to worrying about how it was being, you know, reframed or rephrased.
Sure.
That makes sense.
But
it does.
First of all, you legally can't do that without permission, and very few agents would give you permission to do that, and most players don't even really want to hear it. They'd rather, they're comfortable just letting their agent do it and then convey.
Makes sense.
That's what was said to them.
Yep. Well, Joe, let me thank you for you know, lending your tremendous expertise to our program today. And I'll just say, you know, what I've always thought, which is that you were phenomenal credit to the Eagles organization and helped in many ways build the modern day, you know, approach. So thank you for that. And thanks for being a big part of today's show, Joe.
Well, happy to be on, and I appreciate the kind words.
You guys, and by the way, good job cutting Richie in 05. He was done. He was cooked. All right, Joe. Go ahead.
Well, we went backwards in 05. Obviously, it was him. So
there you go.
Thank you.
That is true. A compliment to Richie on the way out. Thanks, Joe. Stay well. We'll talk.
Just kidding. Take it easy.
All right, there he is, Joe Banner. He's got a joke on the way in and a joke on the way out. I like it a lot. All right, Twitter poll question of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Do more and get more in a 2025 Armin Chevrolet Trailblazer, starting at only $23,995. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. First poll question, as we were just talking to Joe Banner about there on Goddard and Becton, what's your prediction of what happens with Goddard and Becton for the 2025 Eagles? Choice A, they both stay. Choice B, only Goddard. Choice C, only Becton. And D is neither on the Eagles. Unless, Ben, you're the people that say neither. Are you a neither or a neither?
Neither.
Me too.
I never know. I never know what it is.
But why the neither?
I don't understand neither.
I don't either.
Sometimes the neither just works.
I think maybe I've accidentally said neither.
It's like potato, potato.
But I think it's neither.
But it's not. It's potato. And it's neither.
And
it's not potato.
And it's not envelope.
I'm just telling you, people say it both ways, obviously.
Well, if someone tells me, you know,
you're the real pot kettle situation here coming from you.